You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Deborah Stroman brings you stimulating sports and society discussions with some of the biggest influencing forces in sports and sports business. From athletes to owners, If You Only Knew covers all the bases with informative and engaging content from end zone to end zone.
Hello, summer. Filled with sunshine and smiles and lots of good times. I'm grateful. Well, actually, I'm grateful all the time, but certainly there are times in my life where I just have to stop and pause and just really, really reflect on the wonderful things that are happening in my life, the things that are happening for my friends, my family members, and certainly the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm blessed to be a part of the family, to have a degree, to be employed there, to be able to work with amazing colleagues, to be able to lift up, inspire, teach, instruct learners. So yes, I'm very, very grateful. But as you all know, those of you who follow If You Only Knew, my conversations, my discussions, my reflections focus on sports, sports and leadership. And so I want to give a shout out to the University of National Champions. I was really moved by David Glenn's article, where he basically detailed, outlined, and I know he could have done so much more, but he spoke about the championship spirit that is at this school. And so I want to take a moment and add my 2 cents or $5 bill. University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. How grateful, how thankful are we to be associated with, to live in a community, to be connected to scream and shout for a university that wins. And I've been on the side of winning, and I've been on the side of losing. And just like I think it was Pearl Bailey who stated, I've been rich and I've been poor. I like rich a lot better. I like winning. And to know that it is very, very rare that I watch, observe, cheer a UNC team who doesn't have a chance to win the game. It's pretty rare. It's rare air. We're talking about 49 team championships. That's a lot of love. That's a big, big commitment. And what I believe is that it's baked into the culture. It's baked into the culture. So I want to go a little bit deeper in terms of UNC and its winning formula. Under the leadership of athletic director Bubba Cunningham, Lawrence. And of course, there have been many others. And I'm thinking about Dick Bedore. And I'm thinking about John Swofford. And those before them. When I became affiliated with the University of National Championships, it was in the fall of 1983 when I made the decision to come here and be in the first graduate class for sport management in the exercise and sport science department. And because of my background in basketball, having played at Virginia, Coach Jennifer Alley, she accepted me on her staff to be a graduate assistant. And so, with full transparency, it took me a while, but as you all know, in the ACC, it is all about ABC, anybody but Carolina. And so that is in my blood. But once I came and had the chance to interact and bond with many Tar Heels, and also to participate on the club women's lacrosse team, which eventually became the varsity squad. Having grown up in Philadelphia, the suburbs, the main line, we love lacrosse. And I never really got a chance to play it in high school because I was playing all these other sports besides being a football manager. The basketball was my number one sport, even though I played volleyball and softball as well, so I couldn't get in lacrosse. But when I got to Chapel Hill, there was my opportunity. And boy, did I love playing lacrosse. And so I got into the culture of sports here. And it is really fanatical to a point. So understanding that competitive spirit that's here, and I'm not saying it's not in academics and scholarship as well, it's there too, but we hold up trophies, we put up banners, we're on the big stage, and not only nationally, but globally, people know about UNC, the University of National Championships. And so I bought in. I drank the Kool-Aid. In fact, I started mixing the Kool-Aid. I made it. Being a part of an ACC championship with women's basketball, I walk proudly when I go into Carmichael Arena and look at that banner and what we sacrificed to win that championship. So I know what it's about, and it's a part of me. And I want to take a moment to show appreciation for being a part of the UNC family, a winning formula. But I want to speak. I want to speak to how it applies to organizational behavior. My work is in leadership. It's in organizational development. And I have a model that I use with my clients to help them move forward, to help them move the needle, to create a culture of inclusion and belonging, because it is much more than diversity training. It's much more than implicit bias training. It's much more than cultural competence, inclusive excellence. You got to do that surgery, that deep work, and that's what I do, and I love it. In addition to sport business work, in fact, I found that they're very, very connected. Sports and entertainment is not immune from bias, from injustice. It's just like media. It's just like transportation. It's just like banking and finance. It's just like food and agriculture, education, healthcare. All of these systems have to have an equity lens on all the time. And so I can have the analogy. I can move from system to system, but I spend a great deal of my time in the sports and entertainment system, and of course, education. I also believe that healthcare, wellness, medicine, that is oftentimes a system that we overlook in terms of equity outcomes. I know we're all in a tizzy about what the police are doing or not doing, but it's actually healthcare that has more unnecessary harm and death than any other system. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
Thanks for listening in. I'm sharing a moment around my gratefulness, my thankfulness, my appreciation for UNC Chapel Hill, the University of National Championships, team championships, individual as well, but 49 national championships. David Glenn pointed this out in his article on Chapel Borough. Women's soccer, 21 wins, national championships. Field hockey, 10. Men's basketball, 6. Men's lacrosse, 5. Women's lacrosse, 3. Men's soccer, 2. Women's basketball, 1. And just this season, women's tennis captures the national championship. And so thinking about what is the winning formula, what does UNC do? I think it all actually reflects my model for organizational success, the model that I use when I work with clients. If you can picture a triangle with a base, I'm going to tell you those components. And feel free to reach out to me if you want to go deeper. But I believe the foundation of organizational success, those pillars that are critical to success: trust and truth. If you don't have trust in an organization, your organization will fail. It won't have longevity. It won't be sustainable. And this goes from the people at the C-suite level, whether that's the CEO, the CIO, the CMO, the CTO, to that entry-level person. You got to have trust. You have to have trust. You have to have belief that the mission and the vision are real and they're being realized. And you have to have truth. And that means transparency. Now, obviously, depending on the system that you're in, you might not be able to speak about everything to everybody because there are privacy laws. There are health and safety laws that need to be adhered to. But I'm talking about being truthful with everybody in the organization when you might be struggling with a matter and you need everybody on deck. You need everybody involved. You need their feedback. When things don't go well, you have to be truthful about it. We made a mistake here, and we're working on it, and we're going to make it better, and we need your help. Trust and truth. And quite obviously, this means good communication. And we have to take advantage of technological advances. Snail mail is not going to be enough. Email is not going to be enough. We have to meet people where they are in the organization. And for some organizations, that means text. In other organizations, that might mean Slack. In other organizations, it might mean GroupMe. It might mean webcasts, webinars. You have to use technology. It might mean Teams, but you have to communicate. And of course, in person as well, as much as possible. Trust and truth. The other parts of the triangle are the P's, as in you have to have priorities in terms of how you are going to take care of people. How are you going to conduct business? How are you going to make sure that you don't have mission creep? What are your priorities? And so the P's around that are people, policy, and power. It starts with people. Do you have the right people on the bus? And when we think about sports, we're talking about recruitment. For as much as coaches do, in order to win national team championships, you need people that can get the job done, people who can finish, people who can close, people who don't stay bitter, who don't stay angry, people who are confident, people who are not afraid to admit their shortcomings, people who are willing to work on their strengths, people who are willing to receive feedback, willing to give feedback. Do you have the right people on the bus? Do you have people who are flexible, willing to take on a new task? People who are willing to sacrifice for others. Recruitment. And of course, when we talk about recruitment, we have to do the flip side, which is retainment. What are you doing to retain team members? And I know right now in sports, it's really scary for a lot of people, because they're concerned about transfer portal and what NIL, name, image, and likeness, is doing to college sports. What are you going to do to retain your people? That money will come, but you might have to wait a while. How are you keeping people engaged? What about the policies? These are the guideposts. This is the North Star. Does it have an equitable lens? Are you making sure that you have equity in your policies? And when it comes to sports, we're talking about men respecting women's sports, as in sharing facilities, sacrificing. We know in college sports that football, and particularly unique to Carolina, men's basketball. Football and men's basketball pay the bills for all the other sports. That's called sacrifice. These types of things have to be built into your policies. Whether that is unstructured or structured, whether it's defined or not defined, whether it's formal or informal. And this starts at the top of the triangle. The folks in senior leadership have to have an equity lens on to make sure that the policies are working for everybody. And then the last P is about power. The administration, the leadership team, the C-suite level folks have to let people do their jobs, avoid micromanagement. And I think in Carolina, we see this as in the administration lets the coaches coach. It's pretty hard not to when you've got so many Hall of Fame coaches here at Carolina. But it's about power, sharing the power. And also thinking about your fan base, as in listening to them, staying close to the community. And far too often, I've seen people climb that ladder of success. They get on that senior leadership level and they turn their back on the community. They don't listen to what they're saying. They don't ask for their feedback. Organizational success, my model, trust and truth, people, policy, and power. That defines your priorities. And it's certainly working well for Carolina Athletics. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
I'm speaking today about my appreciation for the University of National Champions. Just an amazing run over the decades. There's a culture here of success. And because it's been built year after year after year, I do believe it will continue. It's going to be pretty hard to knock UNC off that Mount Rushmore of great athletic programs. 49 national team championships. I'm also mindful of some myths that are out there in sports. And I'm thinking about the one, having listened to a number of NBA broadcasters, pundits, and they've been talking about how coaches can't give us confidence, but they can take it away. And so coaches are very, very important. But I'm not sure I'm buying into this, that coaches can't give us confidence and they can take it away. I believe that they do both. I think that coaches can lift athletes up. And when I say coaches, for those of you who aren't in sports but are tuning in, thank you very much. Think about that leader who is a coach for you. Now, certainly there are elite performers, and they don't need any type of motivation when the light is shining brightly. Or when it's time to get the job done, when it's time to complete that project, when it's time to get through that sprint, that last round of workout. They might not need a coach's motivation, but I do believe they seek and they find those trusted individuals, whether it's a family member, whether it's a close friend, whether it's a partner, to encourage them. To say you nailed it, you crushed it. Even though that elite performer knows that they did such, I believe the human spirit needs encouragement and needs confidence, and that can come from a coach. It can make the difference to have the opportunity to speak life into someone, whether you're 8 years old or whether you're 80 years old. I think we all need confidence. We need encouragement. We need to be appreciated. And I'm talking publicly. Behind closed doors, it's wonderful. It's great to get that hug, to get that kiss on the cheek, to get the pat on the back, to get that warm, deep hug, to get a thank you card. But it's also great in the public space to acknowledge people, to acknowledge greatness, to clap, to stand, get that standing ovation. And so I'm going to ballyhoo that one. I'm not going to go for that one. But that's the fun part of being in sports, to critique, to analyze, to share. And so as these playoffs continue, I'm going to be engaged, but I'm also going to keep my critical thinking cap on as they mention things that really, to me, might not make a lot of sense. I believe coaches give confidence and they can take it away, and that can make a difference. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You've been listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill with Dr. Debra Stroman. You can listen to all episodes at chapelborough.com/ifyouonlyknew.